What's a different Olympic sport that we could awkwardly adapt into a powerful martial art?
Curling.
They ain't never going to see that coming, especially if they're not standing on a very fine, sleety surface at the time.
No, if someone walks into a sort of tight corridor with a broom, you're going to think, janitor. You're not going to think, the very swift, prompt route to my maker.
That's true. This is going to have to be a two-man team. One person to hurl the curling burl, and then the other person to quickly sweep the ground in front of it as it flies towards your opponent.
True. But the trick would be, is it an imaginary hurling burl and just a man with a broom?
Right.
And so, you know, he sort
I mean,
of
the psychological of impact of that is, it can't be understated.
Astronomical, mate. Absolute massacre. You sweep your way, drying the ground, so you know if anyone comes to run after you, they're going to fight. Oh no, friction! Ah, and then they're going to they're going to be slowed, and they're going to have sort of 1.75 movement speed.
I see. So you're like sweeping in front of you, and they meanwhile, does the sweeping remove friction or cause more?
Whatever you want. That's the magic of curling. I have been told. So So you know, if you could speed yourself up, but also, I think speed yourself up because you're wearing special curler's boots, and no one else.
I mean, you're wearing ice skates. You know, so
yeah, you're wearing ice skates, and that's going to be really good. So you're going to be kicking people
car
with
park.
That. Exactly. And you're going to be sweeping the ground up, and it might be dust flying around. That's okay because you're used to it. You're hardcore, mate. And you're going to be slowing the ground down for people or slowing it up. And also you can just wang people around the head with the broom.
If it comes to it, that's very much like the thing that happens at the end of the movie that nobody thought of, you know, like Ash using the necklace to pull the Necronomicon towards him. They'll be like, oh, he could have just hit people with the broom.
Yeah. And there's going to be a few people in the front row with broom t-shirts all like bringing their own broom and be like, hit him with a broom. And then they do. And they're like, this is the best film.
But what a sad life those guys live, you know, just get swept away, so to speak, into the magic of Skeet Boy. I can't remember what the sport's called. Curling, man. Oh, and who's this? It's Canoe Man, his best friend and assistant. He's awkward out of the water, but you better believe he's going to make it there.
Can I have a hand?
I need to get turned around.
Can we fill this corridor with water?
Give me 25 minutes.
Did anyone bring a hose?
Crime. Hello and welcome to One Good Thing, the podcast that has much to say to you. I am your pool trainer.
I believed a fool.
So you did. And so shall we all.
Yeah.
We are attempting to ascend to the rarefied atmosphere of the very best bad movies ever made. Or certainly the most culty, crazy ones. Starting with this absolute film, Robert Klaus's 1985 avant-garde martial arts film, Jim Carter.
According to who?
According to this fucking guy, because this shit gets weird.
His name? Kurt Thomas. His title? 3-time world gymnastics champion. His assignment? A secret mission for the United States government. His only weapon? Himself. And that's all he needs. Combine the discipline, the timing, and the power of gymnastics with the explosive force of karate, and a new all-powerful martial art is born. Gymkata. Kurt Thomas becomes Jonathan Cabot. He must penetrate a mountain fortress to compete in an ancient savage ritual. They call it the game. But nobody wins, and nobody lives, until now. When gymnastics and karate are fused, the combustion becomes an explosion, and a new kind of martial arts superhero is born. Gymkata.
Starring Mitch Gaylord.
Starring Mitch Gaylord, yes. So I believe when we reviewed, and I'm not going back to check, even though it's one of my favourite films we've covered, The American Rickshaw.
Mm-hmm.
I think I may have alluded to the fact that the star of that film, Mitch Gaylord, was a star of Gymkata.
Mm.
Not realising, no, that is an entirely unrelated Olympic gymnast who had attempted a sort of action movie career, which does explain his lack of flips. Because I guess Mitch Gaylord wanted to be a bit more legit than Kurt, whatever his name is.
I have called him interchangeably Mitch Gaylord and Jonathan Patsharp.
Kurt Thomas, for those who are following along at home.
Okay, henceforth will be known as Jonathan Patsharp.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Mitch Patsharp. So this movie is based on The Terrible Game by Dan Tyler Moore, a fairly obvious ripoff of The Most Dangerous Game by Richard Connell.
Yeah.
But not really, you know, I think sometimes if you're just, like, the 50 Shades of Grey people aren't after us. I think if you're operating that far under the radar, you're probably going to get away with it.
Yeah, my go-to was going to be Brett Goldstein isn't after us.
Not yet.
Similar reasons. He's got a way to fall.
Yeah, I think so. Yes, things have got to go a little badly. Although he did join the MCU at potentially the worst possible time, except now.
That's true. So, will another one get made?
Will another one ever get made with the Almighty Four? That remains to be seen. However, this film does not remain to be seen because we saw it. It was adapted by Charles Robert Carner, who subsequently wrote Blind Fury, where Rutger Hauser plays a blind soldier who is an expert swordsman. It's an American remake of Zatoichi.
Yes, I was going to say that's a very immediately recallable movie.
Yeah, Blind Swordsman really does just scream this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's the original thinker.
It's in the English title for Zatoichi, isn't it? It's Zatoichi the Blind Swordsman.
Is it actually? Well, it's Blind Fury is this. So, yeah, Zatoichi the Blind Fury is a film that's yet to be made. But will be made by Robert Klaus. Dead Robert Klaus.
Best time. Prime of your life.
Let's do it. Yeah. Speaking of which, the film was directed by Robert Klaus. Dead Robert Klaus. The Oscar-nominated, for his short films, director. Dead Robert Klaus. Director, most famous for making Enter the Dragon, and then somewhat shamelessly exploiting Bruce Lee's death in the completion of his final film, Game of Death. Lee's final film.
Oh, that was him. Fantastic.
Or post-final film, I should say.
Mm. Didn't realise he directed a legitimate martial arts movie as well. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. He should. Well, more than that, because after this, he directed China O'Brien 1 and 2 with Cynthia Ruffrock, so he's made his mark on action cinema, as evidenced here.
Many syllables in that sentence I have never heard before.
I have such things to show you.
Daddy.
Mom jeans that you would never believe. Now, the closest thing I have to any kind of production notes come from care of the Bristol Bad Film Club, who, ahead of their screening of this film in 2015, managed to interview gymnastic star Kurt Thomas.
What about Mitch Gaylord?
About Mitch Gaylord. It was a very confusing interview that only makes sense if you're a Bristolian. He says that he was cast on based on his appearance in a commercial, but I did a little of my own reading. Thomas was an Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics, having competed in the 1976 Summer Olympics, so he's a little older than he looks, and being a favourite in the 1980 Olympics, just before the US boycott. Because of invasion of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
He then pulled out of the 1984 Olympics because the Olympics had an amateurs-only rule, which meant that you couldn't really do things like advertising or being in movies and stuff.
Or
make money.
Well, he had a booming career ahead of him.
Hollywood. So, yes. And he knew that, so he pulled out. Essentially to make Gymkata.
Happy. And Gymkata isn't happy.
Where's the guy who won Olympics gold in 1984? It was Ronald Reagan. Wow.
He really did everything. I sort of see why people vote for him, to be honest.
I kind of want to vote for him. So, Mitch Gaylord, what's his actual name? Kurt Thomas. He admits in the interview that he had no martial arts experience. He says that Klaus seemed a little past his prime. You know, Cynthia Ruffrock is on the horizon, mate. But, on the other hand, it was low budget, so there were very few retakes. cool.
Great. I may be stupid and ugly, but...
What was the third thing you said?
Mister, come back.
He's quite curt in his responses to these interviews. It's quite a shame, but there's one here. There's one interaction, which is my personal worst nightmare when preparing for interviews.
Okay.
The question asker asks, the fight scenes were naturally based around your impressive gymnastic abilities, but there are several scenes that appeared to be included just to underline that fact. For example, the backflipping whilst talking to the princess scene. How did those come about? Answer. Yeah, from time to time, the producers would ask me what I could do physically that would look good on film, and they simply ended up incorporating most of them into the movie. Hate that. That's awful, because that's essentially, hey, here's a thing I've observed. Yes, that is the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I was good at gymnastics, and they wanted...
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They got me to do gymnastics for the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine watching those scenes and thinking, ooh, I wonder how they came about. If anything, I was expecting more of those. I was hoping every scene would be that.
Kurt, now, we're coming up on the scene where you need to do backflips whilst talking to the princess. Are you able to do that? Guys, I know I haven't brought it up before, but he pulls in his shirt a little and two gold medals fall out. My God!
The two gold medals fall out, but they're already out. He tucked them in so they could fall out.
I saw an Oscar this week. The guy who did the sound design for Zone of Interest and Poor Things was at the Care Mode show, and he brought his Oscar with him. Ooh. Those things are shiny.
I bet.
Big.
Oh, yeah? I wasn't aware of the big. The shiny I can handle, but big is obscene. I wonder who polishes theirs and who doesn't. Does somebody have a ratty old unbuffed Oscar just hanging around?
I think they have nanotechnology in them that means they never need buffing. And they emit a constant glow where atoms are actually being split along the surface, bouncing off them.
That sounds crazy
enough
to be true.
Highly radioactive.
Yeah, that's also worth it. They also emit that that high pitched whine that Japanese 7-Elevens do to make sure that youths don't hang around them.
that tone only youths can hear. Only in this case, only that Leonardo DiCaprio can hear, tempting him to ever greater feats. Who's the guy who desperately wants an Oscar? Oh, Bradley Cooper. That would have been the pull.
Oh, I thought you were doing Leo has a very young girlfriend all the time, so they won't be able to go anywhere near his trophy room, unfortunately.
That would work too. Hollywood is just full of tryhards and weirdos, and that's what I love about it. And that's why I'm a Cooperhead. Anyway.
Anyway,
he says that the extras in the Town of Crazy sequence were actual crazy people from an asylum in Yugoslavia who were paid for their time in alcohol and buffet.
That's what you do with the mentally ill.
Put them to work
and get them trashed.
Get fucking tanked and film it. That's what Milos Forman would have done, probably.
Yeah. And where's he? Dead.
He's dead. And that's where a career in Hollywood gets you. Tragic. Critics felt that death became the film. Oh. You're blind, baby. You're blind to the facts on who you are because you're watching that Roger Ebert at the Chicago Sun-Times. Going to get it more and more niche.
That was very good. That took me, in the time it took me to figure out what you were doing. You were saying
it came.
Yeah, it was great.
I think it's the only way to do it now is to try and just try and make them weird enough that it feels spontaneous.
And test my sort of hip hop history knowledge.
I'm going to dive into that. This is one of the. He said this is one of the most ridiculous movies I've seen in a while. But make of this what you will, I heard more genuine laughter during the screening than at three or four of the last so-called comedies I've seen lately.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No laughter in that. Nobody got the dark humour. I'll have to make another film.
That's interesting. Saw it with a fairly unjaded audience then.
I love that. I love that for him. I can imagine this going down like fucking gangbusters in 1984.
Yeah, I think this
people
is...
People were tired, you know?
Oh, God. I mean, tireder than now. There's so much to be afraid of. So many people on the fringes that we're all terrified of. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible time. I can imagine this filling a Prince Charles and everybody, you know, bringing their own pommel horse. Yeah. Waving it about.
Everyone brought that. It was chaos in the aisles. And can't say the ushers didn't handle it like champs.
Oh, God, no. So many dead.
Legends. so many dead, and yet, you know, in the audience, and I feel like that was Dasyoshi's greatest accomplishment. Public, meanwhile, couldn't even begin to put the hardware back in their pants. Vivian Zachary on Google said, "This is by far the best movie that I have ever seen. Eat your heart out, Stanley Kubrick." It's true. His gym-based action movie was barely conceived.
It's like coming out of The Expendables and being, "Eat that, Janet Street Porter."
She rallied hard against that film. She felt that Jet Li deserved more screen time. I agree, Janet.
We all agree with you, Janet. Just stop being for once such a lunatic about it.
Put the knife down, Janet Street Porter. Anyway, there were no Threemen, but you said somebody's in Fury Road?
Yeah, fuck it. There's an Australian man, Richard Norton, who in this is playing Eurasian-African man from Cheeseville. And
is it Wolf the Gladiator, the main guy who's like the big villain?
Samir or whatever he is. Is that... Yeah, he look, is he Wolf, or does he just look like Wolf?
He just looks like Wolf from Gladiators, yeah, I don't think.
He could have been Wolf, though. You know, I saw Wolf on the original Gladiators, and he said he used to eat Weetabix with gravy, and that looks like the kind of man that eats Weetabix with gravy.
you can see it in his eyes.
You can see it in his eyes and in his teeth. And he had a vaguely, like, ethnic accent that he was doing his best to do, and I think he was probably just given the directive... Do it ethnic style, and but
just be foreign, mate.
You can't hide the Australian in you. You can't, mate.
Nah. Just make him Australian.
Yeah, it could have been terrible. It could have been an Australian mercenary. They're the worst.
Gonna kill you now.
Can't. But he's the he's in Mad Max Fury Road playing the Prime Imperator.
Is it the guy? Is it the son who like I had a brother? And he was perfect.
I can't remember, but I've Googled pictures of him and gone, yeah, he was in Mad Max Fury Road. He's topless and he's a skinhead, as many
of
them are.
Yeah, I think that's him. Well, hold on, Fury Road. Grand. Everybody, sit down.
Prime Imperator. Shut up. You shut up. Shut up. Prime Imperator.
Do you have any idea how important this is?
Out of 10, it's a 5. That's how...
Okay, that's a picture of Charlize Theron.
That's right. Did you write Prime Imperator? Because I heard you say Grand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did say Grand. Okay, yeah, that's not the guy I thought he was. The guy I thought he was has a good 20, 30 years on this guy.
Yeah. Richard Norton. I mean, this movie was the 80s, right? So.
Yeah, true. This guy's just some dude. All right, cool. Well, good for him. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's
him. He was in this. Jim Carter has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. Don't trust Google anymore. 4.4 on IMDb and made some money. I don't have any stats. So, Paul, you bastard.
Yes.
Exactly. What's one thing about Jim Carter that made you admire it since Munich?
mate, I tell you something.
Oh, mate. Yeah.
I've alluded to it already, but the mullet on this man.
This man's mullet.
Not only would this man's mullet and his dog would not only pass for a modern day Australian mullet.
It is a highly sophisticated mullet.
It's sophisticatedly dirty. But it also is a near perfect analogue for Pat Sharp. And I've needed that in my life for a long, long time. Children's entertainer from Britain, the Australian man, Pat Sharp. And yep. and I felt comforted having Mitch Gaylord, Kurt Thomas around.
The impact of the Australian man Pat Sharp on your life has been immeasurable. Can you say with any degree of certainty that you wouldn't have lost your heart to an Australian woman and moved to Australia if not for Pat Sharp?
If not for Pat Sharp. I don't... I'd like to say no. I think was Timmy Mallett also Australian? I'm going to say yes.
Based on just his situation, I'd be amazed if he wasn't.
A man walking around with a hammer, smiling. Yeah. There's a lot of Australian traits there.
I'm glad to know there are Australian characters from our youth we can still talk about. That's very refreshing for me.
Same. Absolutely same. And then Crocodile Dundee, Crocodile Tears.
Yep, he was fine. He never went to prison for anything.
Nope,
I don't think.
Nope, I'm gonna say no. Nothing major
anyway. I'm
gonna
say no, and I'm gonna believe no.
Yeah.
And as I'm saying and believing that, I'm going to walk us down the garden path of Jim Carter.
Oh, okay.
Because we start with Jonathan Glazer's Guinness advert.
Yes. reminding us all how good that is.
Reminding us all of how impossibly perfect that advert is.
And with a very well-produced bit of music that made me think that it couldn't possibly be from this legitimate movie. But knowing now that Robert Klaus has done other films, could be. Could have had something on a composer.
You tell me that it wasn't Jean-Michel Jarre who did that music.
I won't.
And I'll slap you in the face.
I won't tell you that. Yeah. I'm not prepared to.
So we meet Billy the Blue Ranger, who
damn
is...
it. Which is going to be confusing when I mention him later.
Have we got a different Billy the Blue Ranger?
We have indeed.
Because, okay, fine. That could be Billy the Blue Ranger, because this is actually Mitch Pat Sharp.
Well, it's not quite Billy the Blue Ranger, so I trust our audience to be able to follow this.
I've always trusted our audience, and I'll never stop doing that.
Great.
So, yeah, he is doing some gymnastics
when
he's visited by a government stooge, Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Nick Blind Fury, who wants him to help them install a missile
solo
in the mountains of a stupid country called Parmesan or something.
Yeah.
A tiny, tiny little country full of gymnastic-obsessed weirdos.
Just weirdos, that led by the King Mel Brooks. and with the American accent, Palmerston might as well just say fucking Cheeseville or Hamland.
It's Cheeseville, damn it. And I'm going to Hamland right now, because they don't actually want a missile base in their mountains for some reason.
What?
Fortunately, they've got a really fucking stupid game where... if you win, you get to wish for anything you like. Most of the competitors are going to wish for food, but we need you to wish for a US satellite monitoring station in the mountains.
It says here last year's winner asked for a waterfall of bitches. Can I ask? No, sorry, mate. We need the solo silo.
You wouldn't believe the amount of effort they put into making that happen. They got the bitches part right. So... they hold up a picture to him and say, do you know who this is? No. Fair enough. He's the leader of the place. Michael Goff. Flash.
Nice.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah. Any more questions? No, none, he says. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what a jaded gymnast.
All right, I'll do it. Oh, your dad's there too. Oh, whatever.
Sure. Don't give a fuck, mate.
Fine. Don't give a shit, mate.
You can't dissuade me.
He's a nihilist, this gymnast, as are all gymnasts.
And a neoliberalist.
Doesn't matter how far I throw myself into the air. Let's come back down.
Okay, he says, I'll do it, but only if I can ensure that America gets its nuclear defense warning system.
I feel so strongly about this. I'm Mitch Gaylord. Mitch Gaylord's in the audience like, what the fuck?
God damn it.
Damn it. People don't know it's a part. They're going to believe this. So
he's trained by a bunch of American spy trainer men, including Barry Miyagi.
Yep, meet your masters. We've got a martial arts teacher with the biggest horse you've ever seen. We've got a Japanese guru who's looking after his mate's eagle.
Barry Miyagi.
Barry
my eagle.
Barry my eagle. And we've got the beautiful princess of the country that you're actually going to. She has an interesting background. She's foreign.
Her mother's Indonesian. That's the end of that.
Interesting. Yeah. I know.
Wow.
Right? Don't fall in love with them, especially Barry. What did you say? It was Miyagi.
It was Barry Miyagi, but now it's Barry My Eagle.
Don't fall in love with that man.
Which is now 100% removed from the original concept, and I'm all for it.
Look, Katie mentioned to me the other day that these episodes become impenetrable with our naming conventions, because we do tend to forget that most of the people listening haven't seen this fucking movie.
I like it that way. I have always been under the impression that people aren't coming to us to find out the plot of a movie.
Look, you may have to do some of your own research. Nevertheless, Billy the Blue Mitch Gaylord says, our main character, he charms the princess by doing some somersaults. It's very good.
She loves it. That's what those interesting foreign types like.
their interesting backgrounds. And yeah, they get close over the summer
I wrote they fall in love over the summer.
They fall in love over the summer and they get off of each other.
Yeah.
They're in bed together and she's wearing someone's shirt. She's wearing a large man's shirt, but he hasn't worn anything like that in the movie so far. So she just brought that from home.
He doesn't care. He's been utilizing their new relationship for back rubs. My shoulder's really playing up, love. Do you mind?
I can't afford a physiotherapist.
God, it's
turns
like
out
wrestlers.
Gymnasts don't make shit and the Olympics don't let us do anything. It's bullshit. I hate it.
I wish could monetize ourselves. Wish I could just burn the Olympics down.
I wish I was an Olympic athlete in the 2010s when this sort of thing is mandatory. Then I'd shoot my girlfriend for a door. Anyway.
Okay, I'm getting distracted. Let's eyes on the prize. Eyes on the prize, Mitch.
Anyway. Mitch's in the audience. What?
God damn it.
What's going on?
They arrive in Florensville.
Not Hamville yet, though. They arrive in some place on the Baltic Sea where they hope to be able to smuggle themselves into Cheeseland.
Yeah. For all you care, Americans, it's in Turkey, Africistan.
Turkestan is where it is.
Yeah.
And they arrive and meet the handler there, and then are immediately and hilariously attacked by terrorists.
Yeah, I called the handler Jerome Bin, which is a reference to Jerome Flynn in The Matrix 3, yeah, in John Wick 3.
Okay. Yeah. I assumed that the Jerome Bin is some sort of Australian equivalent of the Henry Hoover.
That would be pretty good. We do have a bird, the ibis, which is nicknamed the Bin Chicken.
I know about the Bin Chicken.
Yeah, it's
Nell pointed them out to me.
Of course, in Healesville.
Yes, we went to the fucking zoo, and it was like, oh, we're gonna see all the animals.
Animal
they're
sanctuary.
Be so good. We went to the zoo, and we were just like, we went to the animal sanctuary. Fine, they felt really saved from all the tourist attention based on us gawking at them. But we were in the cafe
cages.
Beforehand. Before we go in to see all of the little things. And as we're there, the craziest shit I've ever seen just walks over and starts pecking at the ground. And I'm like, the fuck is that? And she's like, oh, it's just a bin chicken. It's like, that would be the centerpiece of any of the animal sanctuary zoos back in London.
Look
what
at
is
this
that?
Fucking thing.
That's a fucking dinosaur. She's like, yeah, we try not to feed them.
But look at it. Look at it go.
Look at it.
Feeds
idiot.
Itself. Yeah.
Oh.
But no, it was just one of many American men playing a Eurasian African. And
I love that, mate. They went to Yugoslavia and brought all the Americans they needed.
Yay. And it's a good thing, though, because Mitch Gaylord's walking around with his sort of Confederate flag-themed jumper. And
apparently a coincidence, he just picked that up whilst he was in India and they were like, yeah, you can wear that.
Yeah, whatever, I don't care. I don't fucking know your name even.
I don't even work on this. Yes, you do. You're the director. Oh. Shit.
What are you, Mitch Gaylord?
Luckily, miraculously even, whilst being chased by terrorists, he finds a vertical bar and he starts to do his swinging business. Oh, I really hope those guys walk under this thing.
I really hope that they haven't experienced life in any way
or how it
longer
works.
Than an hour. Yeah. Anything about the world, to be honest.
It does work too well, though, because some random dude walks into it and gets kicked in the face by Mitch Gaylord.
Yeah.
It's like,
Gaylord
you'll be fine,
him.
Though.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. Trust me, I'm a gymnast.
Mitch away! he makes it back to secret headquarters with Jerome Bin, but oh no, Jerome Bin is a Jerome cunt. Betrays
not
him.
Not yet, he's not.
Oh,
no, that
yes.
was all ages away.
Oh,
because
it's like
they kidnapped
5 minutes.
It's like 20 minutes, and they kidnapped the... They've kidnapped the princess and taken her to the fortified mansion, as the handler puts it.
Oh, yeah.
Where is she? Tamerlane has her at the fortified mansion of his.
Hesitating and falling over the line. So he goes to the fortified mansion and, knocks on the door. Oh, henchman, go see who that is. Can I have that machine gun? No! Stays with me. Take your axe. Literally every other guy has a machine gun.
And your smile.
I'll have a smile before you walk out of my office.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, he's busy on glassdoor.com rating his employer, which allows Mitch Gaylord, the gymnast, to get the better of him.
To kick his way through the actual glass door that he should have been more focused on. And yeah, there's a big fight and he makes off with the princess, and yeah, there's a chase with a long weird chase that recalls the mighty John Borman as he manages to get away. Is this return?
Yeah, was it? This might have been the scene where I thought, see where Christopher Nolan got his ideas for Mombasa. Your hack.
Yeah. Except it occurred to him to make it good. So, not that this is good. This had something to it, but we'll get into that.
Length.
He gets away.
Yep.
And they return to home base, where the handler is listening to his heavy breathing record.
Just to get him in the mood, he says.
Yeah. That bit the governor said earlier.
Yeah, remember that? No time to recall it now. Because here comes not Australian man, American raincoat secret agent.
Nick Fury.
Yeah, who Thornton reads his way onto the scene with a big gun and kills everyone else in the building. He was there all along.
Yay.
Don't worry.
He just had to be fair, it's probably best to let the portrayal play out a little bit, just so you're not just the guy, like, oh, trust me, they're all evil. Listen, look at him. This mustache isn't real. And that one is, but...
But it could have been. It could have been fake.
Yeah.
It could have been fake because that's what they're like. Anyway, not USA,
like,
USA.
Not a real one. Not a real one like this one. Oh, shit. Sorry, I forgot this one is fake. No.
Sorry, princess.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
The only solution now is to whitewater raft their way out of here and into Parmesan, into Hamville.
Does everyone have their life jackets? Oh, yes. Just seems so naff, doesn't it?
All about safety, Nick Fury, and I love you for that.
I just wish that John Wick in John Wick 4, when they were going through the little, like, the sewer, the waterways, and having their chat about what they'd have on their tombstones, they would all wear bright orange life jackets.
Or ducks on them.
Yeah.
it's the only way that perfect movie, even better.
My needs a top-up.
Blowing it up by mouth.
Keep
blowing,
fuck,
there's some ninjas.
Oh my god, no, ninjas!
So, all of them take turns attacking until Barry built up the courage to just club him around the head.
Yeah.
I'm elated, Barry. So he wakes up. He wakes up in the house of Michael Goff / Mel Brooks. He's like, welcome to my country. Ow! Yeah, sorry. That's our version of airport security. But I'm in pain and I'm disoriented and I really just want to go home. Oh, I see what you mean.
That's normal.
We also did a cavity search. What? Let me show you my Warhammer setup. This is the game you should be playing.
And here are my windows. You may look out of these. And here is an Australian man. You may recognize him, but you probably won't.
Princess, your dad sure is weird. Don't, he's probably going to be dead soon. What do you mean? Wolf from Gladiators is planning a coup and they're probably going to kill him. Oh.
He's standing...
You're our only hope, Mitch Gaylord.
You're our only hope, guy. American guy.
We've solved our problems ourselves.
That's why they've sent me, Mitch Gaylord. So time for a party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they do a little kind of mini sauté at first.
Oh, yeah.
They ride around a bit and a couple of people die, and it turns out there's pretty strict rules around here.
Yeah.
If you break them, you'll die.
Yeah. You can't. One of them is if you can't kill on this hunt. You can't kill someone if you're not on the same, like, playing field, basically. So if someone's climbing a rope, you've got to be a climbing rope boy as well. You can't
kill him.
You can't be a standing under the rope, having a fire sort of boy.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the technicalities we've gotten into over here. You know, I had a hand on the rope. Yeah, but you need to be supporting your weight. I was.
Why?
These guys like you that really, really just make this kind of competition a drag. You know that?
Look, this game's been played for 900 years. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just look at British Parliament. So,
So that night, they have the party from Howling 2.
They touch each other with nets. That's it's all good.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's announced that the princess is going to marry Wolf from Gladiators. No!
No!
Oh!
God! And then a whole bunch of stuff happens to really change the pace. And it's really disconcerting. And it really does make me feel like I'm watching Hard to Be a God for a little bit there. But fortunately or not, the scene does finally end after Kurt Angle is introduced. Big, another famous gymnast of sorts.
Ooh,
but he ignores Mitch Gaylord.
Yeah.
To make of that what you will, listeners.
Yeah, the next day, the games begin, and Wolf shows off in a really braggadocious kind of way, yeah. but not in a sexy way like the hero did earlier.
No.
That turned her on.
In an arrogant, un-American way. Yeah. They do have a chat the night before, and the princess does say, oh, it's always this way. The king's daughter has to marry his closest advisor. Why can't the king break with tradition? If you see my fucking country, look at this.
This place sucks. But the young people, though, the young people are going to lead a result because they don't want to eat shit anymore.
Eat literal shit, like we're doing now for midnight snacks. Samir's making the game double hard, so you better watch out so you don't die. I won't die, he says. Next scene.
Yeah. He's also killing people in the actual thing, and yeah. everyone no one's berating him for it. It's completely rigged.
It's completely rigged.
It's not even worth sponsoring this show anymore.
But game. Yeah. But that's not gonna stop Mitch Gaylord, corporate whore.
He's gonna flip his way out of this whole thing. I hope people appreciate that it's just funny to continue our mix up with the fact that these two gymnasts are in the thing, and not that we're just enjoying calling him that because of his surname.
Oh yeah, for the love of God, no. I did rewrite some of my notes so it didn't come across like I was just having fun saying the word Gaylord. It's not...
I think for me it's more fun that his first name is Mitch, because it gives him a sort of, I don't know, confounded kind of quality in my head that makes him even more baffled at the fact that we're continuing to attribute all of the deeds of Kurt Thomas to Mitch Gaylord.
Yeah, I just, for me it was just basically,
just why?
It just continues to be funny to me to refer to Kurt Thomas as a different man. and this is where we meet our other contestants properly. Well, they're there at the Uh-oh. Banquet, but... it's really their game day costumes that give them their names in this plot telling, which are the Red Ranger, the Yellow Ranger, and David Yost.
Oh boy!
so
my
yeah.
notes get really avant-garde at this stage. The next thing I have is the bit where he tries to climb the rope, but
Well, yeah. There's honestly not much between what I just said. And that bit, the Grand Imperator, the Prime Imperator pursues early, and Mel Brooks is all sad about it.
Yep.
Kurt Angle.
That's right, he goes off early.
Yeah, Kurt Angle gives Mitch Gaylord a proper beating before beatings really accepted, but Mel Brooks just powerless. Powerless to do anything about it. And then Mitch Gaylord tries to climb one of the ropes from earlier. And yeah. the Prime Imperator, Australian man with a bag full of stolen lemons, sets light to it. Like he's on the rope, but he's not.
And the slowly climbing fire is going to cause real problems.
But Mitch Gaylord is an ace rope climber, probably, so he gets up there okay. Yeah. And he protests to a rosy-cheeked, blue-eyed Eurasian man under his mask that he just broke the rules, get him. But he's unmoved. He doesn't want to. Won't do anything. This whole system's rigged.
A couple more things happen. A guy gets thrown off of the rope thing, and his dummy lands in the exact same place as the previous one.
And they do utilize a slightly different falling scream sound effect, which is very satisfying.
I enjoy that.
They're all very, very good. Every single time someone gets thrown onto the same spot, it's a wonderful experience for me. Yeah. So the Red Ranger makes it across, but he gets killed by Kurt Angle. No.
Yes. Oh no.
Shit.
He kills the little guy and then has a bit of a fight with Billy. But then the two of them enter Windmill Village.
Yeah. I just called it Bloodborne. So yeah, similar.
That's fair.
Creepy fun software town.
And there's a couple of things going on here. There's some strange people, and a pace changes quite a bit in a way that I enjoy.
It's my favourite scene from the whole movie.
Sure is.
Yeah. We'll get into that.
But the crazies all decide to chase him, and it's like, quick, chase him to the big stone pommel horse we keep in the middle of our town.
Over the pigs.
He'll be trapped there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the pigs who kill and eat Kurt Angle.
Fuck yeah. And yeah. And shit. No, his pommel horse. Our one weakness. Why do we leave it in the town square?
we worship it. Damn it.
Fucking love that pommel horse. Anyway, let's get him one at a time, everyone.
He gets saved by his dad? Oh my god, I knew you'd get here. It's been 27 years. What have you been doing here?
Well, wait, we can't talk right now. The walls are too high and close. Let's get to a nice open field with a good vantage point of all the danger points above us.
Oh, I missed you, Dad. Oh, he's dead. Yeah. Oh. Well, now it's personal. It wasn't before.
I'm not dead, though. Oh, I feel like you are dead, though. Not according to the end of the film.
So, I hate that.
Yeah. Well, suppose I better go and fight the Prime Imperator then.
Yeah. Well, the uprising is defeated really quickly because people really fucking love Michael Goff / Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
They love this guy. They'll do anything for him. They'll literally die for him.
Look at him. I fucking love that prig. That prick of a king. So that's great. And yeah, he beats the Prime Imperator. It's fine. Yeah. Does it. And then he comes back with his dad on a horse, not dead apparently.
Oh, yay!
Then we are told.
There's a freeze frame and an absolutely hilarious subtitle that informs us that they got the missile station, everyone!
Yay!
Hurrah! Based on the terrible novel.
The first early defense warning system in the world.
Yay!
Good one, America. You did it.
You did it, Billy the Blue Mitch. God almighty. And that was just about all of Jim Carter.
That's word for word what happened in the film. Don't think that we did a funny by making it cryptic. Every single thing we said is a fact.
Absolutely. A lot of the movie is just Robert Klaus reading what we just said to you.
Don't ask how he got it. We don't know.
We don't know. Paul, as I battle a headache that is more profound than anything I ever hope to experience,
okay,
I'm going to ask you this.
Yeah.
What did you think of Robert Klaus's Enter the Dragon? / Jim Carter.
Coda. Yeah, look. Overall, it was a big, dumb, silly movie with an over-elaborate, impractical fighting style that was made in no way believable by the choreography. More than once, I thought of Morpheus just watching Neo flip over him before smashing him through a wall. when it wasn't being hilarious, it was utterly baffling or incomprehensible, and I admired it for that. It had a sort of things effect on me at times. But the choreography felt so lifeless. It was despite Mitch Gaylord's ability to flip around and do amazing stuff. It was it was stilted and sort of over-practiced. I think the main thing for me is, you know, the clip that you showed me at some point around the time of our American Rickshaw recording of Kurt Thomas on a pommel horse. Oh, that's hard. Yeah. Kurt Thomas on a pommel horse.
Kurt Thomas on a pommel horse.
Spinning around and smashing people was what I was hoping most of this movie was going to be. Not literally just that, but... I wanted more towns that had a pommel horse in the center, or just more set pieces like that. Because the high bar in that village chase scene was a very sort of lackluster version of that. I just wanted two more set pieces like that to sort of hang the rest of the movie around. I feel like it missed a trick in that. It also missed a trick in just being thoroughly naff all the way through, but it wasn't too dull, because even when it wasn't being ridiculous, it was still just full of very silly wooden performances and strange choices.
Absolutely.
But there is one scene in particular that I really loved, but we'll get to that. What did you think?
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun. It was, like you say, very silly. The cheap production value was definitely a part of it. It had me thinking of sort of old, Roger Corman slash Joran Globus kind of
yeah
stuff. Canon, what a canon film film. It felt like that, and
yeah,
I really enjoyed the fight sequences quite a bit. It is big and silly and impractical, and people do attack one at a time, but the moves are undeniably impressive.
Yeah.
Like his ability to move himself and do these things, and then just every now and then, the opening sequence and the sequence in the village just entered this state of being sublime cinematically. Just this really interesting, unusual way of portraying these things that has a haunting quality to them that was quite electrifying to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is just baffling. It's almost like a cheap knockoff of a film genre that you've seen no entries in.
Mm.
So you don't know what the expectations are. You don't know, oh, of course this is a bit where they have to include a bunch of medieval guys riding around doing obstacles. Like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Is this a James Bond ripoff? Or is this meant to be like Conan the Barbarian? I have no idea what's happening.
Have they remade The Conqueror?
it's perpetually surprising, very hard to predict. Yeah. Meanders a fair bit, and there are a fair few bits that aren't really that entertaining.
Yeah.
But you know, and I will say there's something lacking in our lead, Kurt Thomas. I was hopeful when he showed up that he would be truly terrible.
Yeah.
There are a couple of line deliveries there that are very stilted and awkward, but for the most part, he's just kind of dull.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. And it is, unfortunately, what I remember saying about Mitch Gaylord.
Yeah.
That he was just, that American Rickshaw would be a lot more fun if he had been a slightly more excitable, you know, energetic character.
Which
so,
I guess is what you need if the script is what it is and there isn't enough sort of direct direction or enough of a director's touch to get more out of a performance. You need somebody who's going to bring that crazy off the bat.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was that. So it meant some of his lines delivered po-faced were very weird. Which, you know, added to that incomprehensible impenetrable feeling, which I was kind of enjoying. But yeah, the sequence in that sort of old village where everything's green with like rust, with that droning atmospheric synth score, running, it's almost dreamlike the way it plays out. It has all these like truly From Software-esque opponents, like the guy with the mask on the back of his head, so it looks like he's got two faces. And I didn't pay enough attention to begin with, and I thought that was just some guy's weird face. And then he you know, when he comes more into focus in the scene, it's clearer what it is. And there are cool moments like him getting kicked in the face and spinning round and whipping to other face, and these set pieces that clearly had a lot of thought put into them, and to get just the mood just right as well, which really is above and beyond this kind of fare. It shows cine literacy.
I mean, it certainly feels like something from a different genre. It suddenly has the feel of a sort of
movie.
Italian horror film.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. It keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
And I can see that it would, you know, I'm sure that the Bristol Bad Movie Club had fun showing this one.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt.
Because, yeah.
But yeah, it was like watching Don't Look Now briefly.
Little bit. Like, it had that feel. And it's just, really curious. But yeah, that's the movie. We've preempted the quickfires a little bit. But let's get into the things that we really liked about this film. But generally speaking, I think... yeah, it's deserving of its cult movie status.
Yeah, I think
so.
I can
see why this continues to fascinate people.
Yeah.
And it has also got that sort of 80s American exceptionalism, you know, Reaganite kind of mindset to it. But it's so absurd that it's unlikely to offend, I think, just because it's so silly. It's like a parody of sort of 80s gung-ho action movies.
Yeah, it's more like Team America than it is...
Whatever
the opposite would be. I don't know enough
about
it.
It's like that Mitchell and Webb sketch, you know, BMX and Angel.
Yeah.
You remember that where, like, one of them is an angel and could summon an army of angels to solve any problem, and the other one's just really good at BMX? It's like that, except without the angel.
I haven't seen that sketch.
It's a good sketch.
Cool.
Anywho, let's quickfire.
All right.
Things that we liked about that Mitchell and Webb look.
Mitch Gaylord's Mitchell and Webb look. Love that opening music, mate.
Opening music was great, so and I really enjoyed the montage.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot going on with that opening few moments.
Yeah, all the cuts to the like quiet, high bar action in contrast.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And yeah,
just
the music.
Just fade in on those.
Yeah, it was really well done. And that music just was so crisp. Those crisp bone notes, Paul, were very satisfying.
Now, what would I have meant by pipe picture?
By what? Pike picture.
Pipe picture.
Pipe picture. Was it a picture of his dad?
Oh, that's it. Yes, it was. It was the picture of his dad in which the dad has just a full-on pipe hanging out of his mouth.
Crack.
And it got a laugh.
Fuck yeah. Obviously, any display of gymnastic prowess, starting with him on the high bars. Parallel bars, sorry. But, you know, anything, even the silly, impractical, unbelievable fight scenes when he's doing a full sort of a somersault twist over somebody, or like, God, that conversation with the interesting Indonesian princess when he's doing two sides and backflipping.
Good morning, Jonathan. You're looking handsome as always.
Did you sleep well?
Like a log.
Yeah.
Just, it's always great. It's always fucking amazing to watch somebody do something incredible like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple of moments from the terrorist attack on them I thought was really good. Mm-hmm. First of all, the guy getting hit by an arrow is hilarious when he's like, yes, there has been a rise in anti-American sentiment lately, but I think you'll find, and then an arrow just hits him immediately. It's so good.
Yeah.
There's just a little anti-American sentiment running around, but I think...
It's a really funny moment. And then, the scene where he finds the other guy who was meant to be looking after him, the other security guy, dead. It's, again, really eerie. It's introduced through, like, dripping blood, which is then revealed to be coming from him.
Oh, and there's
hand.
A dog lapping at it.
Yeah, it's, like surreal. It's like, there was a movie called Who Could Kill a Child that had a similar kind of spooky vibe to it.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Oh.
American Rickshaw, starring Mitch Gaylord.
American Rickshaw is the movie that you should all be watching right now.
Definitely. Last quick fire from that opening shot. The pommel horse parallel bar stuff. The footage of him is sort of shot from beneath at an angle.
Oh yeah,
and it's very interesting. You never see the angle of somebody doing that, and it was intimate in a disarming sort of way.
Yeah, you got to appreciate that. I want to talk about the princess a bit. Her name is Tetchy Agbayani.
Yep.
She's Filipino. And she was extremely good. Like, there's moments... She looks great running. Like, she has a very good sort of dynamic quality to her running. But also, in the final sequence, she just has to kick a lot of people in the head, and it's very good. She does so very well. I enjoy her kicking people directly in the head.
I like that.
Yeah.
When Jonathan Patsharp is being introduced to the princess... he lets his guard down immediately because she's a pretty lady, and she immediately loops a rope around his neck and then flips him into a wall. But whilst the rope is being, like, he's already being throttled, he delivers very sort of limply, hey, wait, like, as his neck is being cut in half by a rope.
Hey, wait.
And then it's followed by a very nice, like, staccato of him smashing into a wall or something. Good introduction.
It's a good introduction to a very strange man. Right. There were some really beautiful shots of wherever the hell this is. I assume it's in the Yugoslavia where they filmed some of this. But there were some interesting, like, beautiful country shots and sort of sunsets and natural sort of landmarks that we used that I, yeah, really enjoyed, especially when they threw terrible looking dummies off of them.
Fantastic. Yeah, especially then. It does, it helps juxtapose the beauty of Yugoslavia. Good eagle, I wrote.
Oh, love that eagle.
Classic eagle, mate.
It's a great eagle. It's a giant one. It's a fucking huge eagle.
It's fucking massive. It's more like Barry can't own an eagle. You know what I mean?
I might. So, in the Crazy Town, there's a bit where a guy just lops off his hand.
Oh, yeah.
And the lop you don't see, but the hand remaining on the pipe looks pretty good.
Mm.
Like, it's a pretty good-looking severed hand.
Why did he do that?
He's just a strange guy. You know, okay. It's in terms of selling crazy, it's a high-stakes maneuver that you only get to do once.
That's true.
But it does a lot of the work.
That's true. And it gave you hiccups.
It gave me hiccups, and that's to be celebrated in every form.
You put the up in hiccups, baby. And the
Yeah.
When he's training and he finally, you know, in the montage, he finally gets the better of the guy who's teaching him hand-to-hand combat. When he gets the guy on the floor and the guy goes, one must learn to be forgiving too. And it's very fucking like Alec Guinness-esque delivery. But I liked that. It was a nice character moment.
Yeah. Okay, we went through the guy with the face on the back of his head earlier, so let's not do that again. The music in Crazy Town was really good. Like, just really haunting and disorienting and, yeah, freaky.
Written by Crazy Town as well. It was very, very lateral move from them.
That music was all captured on set.
Come,
nobody
my lady.
Knows where it's
come,
from.
Come, my lady. let's do Jim Carter. Sugar. The stair climb handstands in the training montage.
Oh,
just, you know, which, athletic prowess.
Amusing in as much as he could obviously just do it straight away, but had to very carefully fall over whilst doing it. And that was clearly the hard part. Yeah. Oh, no.
Ow, my bum.
Oh. In the Crazy Town thing, the slow motion chase where the people are all swarming and like following, but they're doing so in slow motion was just, again, a really creepy detail.
Mmm. Lovely.
Yeah. Ugh.
Well, I've got the line from Jerome Bean. If you're caught with a gun, they'll chop your head off.
Oh, this place. Seriously, though, they'll do that.
They'll fucking do that and fuck your neck stump.
It's fucking good. I'm out.
Oh.
The last one was does some great kicks, which I said. So, yep,
oh, shit.
I'm
all
done.
Right. All right.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Okay, well, Paul's gone.
I get to leave.
He's going to go put his head in some Vaseline. I hear that helps.
It does.
So I'll rattle off my numerous quickfires. when Kurt Thomas runs, he sort of canters like he's repositioning himself on a mat or a horse, and I enjoyed that. When Mel Brooks says, I must go play king for my people, and then he gives the most self-satisfied smile and pops on his hat before walking out, and the hat's ridiculous enough that it just makes the
whole
thing
that king hat
wonderful. During the banquet, Kurt Thomas is just sipping wine from some Kmart-ass wine glass. It looks like, yeah, they just found it from in IKEA. And didn't even bother to dress it up as something that would be had at that kind of banquet. The fight scenes in Windmill Village were great because they were much more rugged and there was a lot more weight to every punch and kick and impact. And I was really starting to feel it. And I think earlier, maybe at night when he's meeting the interesting princess, he backflips down a corridor into two henchmen and it looks like he just fucking barrels into them. And it's a really believable impact. So that looked really good. I liked how the game, the most dangerous game, started with a good old-fashioned leg it through the town square. That felt very parochial.
Fucking run, chase the cheese.
Leg it, Barry's, get it away. I like the cutaways to the guys just standing with flags, these silent sentries, just pointing the way on the route. And anyway, it cut away to one of the guys with the flags as Kurt Angle was killing the Red Ranger, and it felt very Kurosawa-esque.
They broke the rules. Kill them. I'm basically a flag boy.
What do we should do?
I point out the way to run.
I don't kill rule breakers. It's not why I joined flag team. Kurt Thomas walking along the back of pigs is always was a fun thing to watch. He's riding a horse into the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Steam coming off that horse.
Oh,
that's a real horse.
That is an actual horse doing actual business.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. And the very last one that I wrote is, I think, in the final fight with the Prime Imperator. There's a very cool, quick 1-2 punch from Richard Norton, the Australian Prime Imperator, to the gut of Mitch Gaylord. And it was Donnie Yen-esque. Donnie Yen-esque.
And that's going to do it.
Sure
for
is.
Everybody here at OGT Manor. What about the people who live in the sort of surrounding villages of OGT Manor? I'm talking about the OG team.
The OG slaves? Feudal vocabulary has suffered of late after being.
It's let you down once again, and there were far fewer words back then.
There weren't enough words, really. It was just bleh when you wanted to refer to somebody of the serving classes.
They did already have Instagram, though. So.
Truly free.
Largshire Press. at Largshire Press.
Is that Stuart?
Twitter says. I don't know. Is it?
Stuart.
Could it be? Stuart Watkinson?
Previous guest. Guest.
Previous guest at the Largshire Press. I believe it might be.
Cool.
Says, having pommel horse-esque shapes in every room was excellent.
I didn't notice that. I'm going to have to go back now and watch the whole thing. Again.
There's just pommel horses everywhere you need them. I saw somebody make a comment that they saw this movie a lot when they were a kid, and now I can't find that comment, and I'm devastated.
Did somebody say it to you in real life, and that's just how you view the world now, in terms of comments?
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
I found you. You quote tweeted it. That's why.
Oh.
I love you for that. Will Nett, at Will Nett, who said, absolutely loved this film as a kid.
Oh.
Good.
Oh, I'm great.
Glad. Yes. I could totally see becoming obsessed with this as a kid because it does 100%. Just offers that unique flavor and is different from like other forms of like fighting in a movie, but also it's just so strange that I could definitely see you sort of coming back to this.
Nice.
Princess, what's her name, is 62 this year. Good for her.
Good old time, Princess, what's her name?
Time waits for no man or woman or princess. Oh. And that's what I'm all about. Paul, how can people find out about these princesses?
So no, okay, cool. No one better thing needed because we're recommending.
One better thing. The one better thing.
This is worth a watch. I cannot remember for the fucking life of me what I was going to recommend, Paul. I had such a good idea in the first 10 minutes of this episode. If I remember it, I'll just scream it. And at least people in Australia will be able to hear because to be perfectly honest, it's a very small country and you shouldn't believe what people say.
It's a very small country. It just looks big on the map because it's all down the south.
Time dilation in the southern hemisphere, mate. It's actually
truer than it sounds.
About the size of a boot. So yeah, I don't know. Monkey Man had a good element of rhythm.
Yeah, it did.
To it that makes it the exact same as gymnastic martial arts. And
it sure does.
Yeah, I think you should watch Monkey Man.
I think the only thing to reasonably do is watch Monkey Man.
Yeah.
For my OGT, one better thing, I'll just have two movies that we've covered before. I think I will have American Rickshaw. If you haven't seen that, and there is a means of you seeing it, it does have a very nice glossy Blu-ray release now. So check that out. It's a movie not at all like this, really. It's very surreal. It has weird chill vibes in its early sequences.
Donald Pleasant.
And then surreal kind of body horror ones later on in a way that's vaguely Cronenberg-esque and recalls the end of Videodrome.
Yeah. Is Donald Pleasant in that one? Or is that...
Yes, he is.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays the pigman.
Yeah.
And then other OGT movie I would recommend is potentially the 80s martial arts film, the Ninja Trilogy, Enter the Ninja, Return of the Ninja, and Ninja 3, The Dominion. baffling experience. Yeah, I highly recommend those. Also, if you want to, like, if you want to do movie maths on this, I guess this movie is like one of the ninja movies plus American Rickshaw plus one of the medieval ones we covered, like The Barbarians.
Yeah.
Or the other one, the what was it called, the Beastmaster? No, it didn't. What was it called? Slayer.
Oh fuck.
The one which had no consent in it.
Yeah. Why can't I remember? I know why I can't remember.
Deathstalker.
Deathstalker, that's it, of course.
There we go. That great, unique name. So, yeah, check it all out, folks.
Yeah.
And whilst you're doing that, don't forget to be the OTT. I can't remember what's going on. Paul, how do people find out about these princesses?
Well, if you want to find out what's going on, don't come to us, for the love of God. But if you want the opposite Jesus, of that, man. Twitter and Facebook at OGT Pod, Patreon.com/OGT Pod, where you'll get all the updates on everything that's not going on, mostly what we think about films and the funny games that we create/steal in order to continue being relevant.
Look. What's not going on would surprise you.
What would?
I'm Paul going on.
I'm a poorly prize.
Remember, the one good thing about the poorly prize is that it exists and you can compete it by finding all the missing clues in our previous episodes. Go now, everyone.
So go
but whilst
on.
You're doing that, also consider the one good thing about Jim Carter is that when you need a pommel horse, God will provide you with a pommel horse.
But not a second before.
And if you don't see one, you don't need it.
Yeah.